Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You are about to listen to the Dork Forest. Let's give you the info about it. First of all, you know the websites. DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner, JackieCation.com has everything. All of my podcasts, including videos of my stand-up schedule, merchandise you can purchase if you would like, and a lot more info than you possibly even need. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and produced and composed that song at the beginning of the show. He sang with his wife, Sarah. It's very beautiful. At the end of the program, he sings his version of the Mexican Hat Dance. That's Mike Rickberg. Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He is the web designer over there. And Patrick Brady fixes the audio. And in this case, there's a video intro. Very exciting. Anyway, those are the websites. If you want to support the show, you're doing it already by listening to it or watching it. And another way is to tell your friends and family, go on iTunes, do a review. Another way is to just give me money. Yeah. You could go use the donate button. You can make it even monthly if you're okay with making things monthly. You do a PayPal monthly. There's a monthly choice on PayPal. The PayPal is a button on the Jackie Cation or the Dork Forest website, and it goes directly to me. Thank you very much. I will use it wisely or foolishly. Your call as well. Now, my email address, jackie@jackiecation.com, is where you can contact me if you have any questions or concerns and about the Dork Forest. And I do have a Venmo account. It's jackie-cation, oddly enough. Another way to support the show is on dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com. There's an Amazon link. And the Amazon link just takes you to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show because you came from Jackie Cation or dorkforest.com. Very exciting. Other than that, there is a Bandcamp. You can, if you have listened to all the episodes that are free and you need more content, there are several live episodes that are at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. And those cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge a couple of bucks. There's also a storytelling album there that you can listen to some stories that I did live. And there are 17 free episodes before the Dork Forest was pre-recorded. So the audio isn't very good, but the guests were super funny and fun and dorky. So if you want to do that, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. Other than that, let's see if there are other things that I should be talking about. Possibly the merch. Yeah, if you want to buy merch. The only other thing I want to talk about is the merch. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts, and you can get stand-up comedy t-shirts. You can get my albums or my DVD over at jackiecation.com/merch. There's pins, there's a challenge coin, there's a bunch of new things happening over there. Anyway, a lot of information. I don't think I've missed anything, but who cares? Let's get into the show.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Hi, Robert Jenkins. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, this is awesome. I haven't seen you in real life since I fucked up your feature week in Chicago.
That was them. That wasn't you.
That was such a debacle. Oh, you should have just said yes,
yeah,
Bert. Bert should have just said, and then he replaced. I think he was like, no, I just want to, you want a black guy? I know a local black guy. I was like, no, I was hoping to hang out with a guy I know. No? All right. I mean, and the guy that featured was a nice enough guy. Yeah. But that whole week was a debacle.
That was interesting.
I will never return. And I will go to other places in Illinois.
Yeah.
And that'll be fine. So, Robert Jenkins, by the way, stand-up comic. And a lawyer for the state of Michigan.
Yep.
State of Michigan lawyer.
Yep.
There we go. And you live in Detroit, and it's Robert Jenkins, but your stand-up comedy.
I live in Lansing now. I was born in Detroit. Live in Lansing.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. You should have bought land. I understand at one point it was very cheap to buy land.
Absolutely.
Rob J. Comedy. That's Twitter and Instagram, right?
And my website, yep.
Okay. And that's awesome. And robjcomedy.com?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay.
Branding.
So. brand, do it all. Just bring it. People follow the man. And according to the frequently asked questions, you're actually a very good lawyer.
Yeah.
And but you're not available to be hired because they're already guilty.
Yep.
That was funny. And you also have a cat.
I have two cats that I love dearly.
What kind of cats do you have?
Do you have
mutt cats?
No, they're Nibelung cats. Like the gray, super gray Russian cats.
Oh, Russian cats. Uh-huh. I was like, is that the... Because there was a cat that is bald.
Uh-uh.
That I thought it started with an N.
Yeah, they,
no?
Not that one. They're called Nibelung, but like the colloquial term is Russian long hair cats.
Oh, there you go. You have two Russian long hair cats. Mm-hmm. Do you vacuum a great deal?
Oh, yeah. We have a... we call them a Sharky Boy. It's like one of the new like robot things that you...
Oh, like a Roomba?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Every day. Every day.
Just send it out on its appointed rounds.
Yep.
Are they pretty cuddly?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know a lot about cats.
They're the cuddliest cats I've ever been around. Like, they are all about it. Yeah. They love our dog,
awesome.
Too. The three of them, they're just thick as thieves. They just hang out and they plot.
What?
They plot on us. They just sit and they just plot.
Awesome.
It's great.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know if a dog and a cat, like my mother-in-law has a dog and a cat, mm-hmm. and the cat is a little bossy, mm-hmm. doesn't want to hang out with the dog.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but she enjoys both of those animals separately, and they enjoy her separately, I guess, as well.
On their own time.
Yes. Everybody gets little grandma time, and we leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say that the first time I met Robert Jenkins, Rangers of the Dork Forest, you should know this, is that we just need to work at a regular gig one time because it was Jokers. Remember
Jokers? Yeah,
it was the Jokers. Yeah, the Downtown Crackers was for a heartbeat, a comedy club called Jokers, and it was in that brick building in downtown Indianapolis. That had also like a karaoke level and a dance level.
Yeah.
And it was owned by the same guy. They kicked Crackers out and they're like, we can do stand up. And then every night of that week, that weekend, it was when I was working on my new album, mm-hmm. the last album. There were genuinely four people at each show, except for I think Saturday first show had like 10.
And then they had that clown. Remember the clown showed up that one show?
Oh, that was so weird. In outfit.
Fucked me up. That was one of the worst sets I've ever had. It was terrible.
How could you tell? He was part of six people who were there.
And he sat in front. And you know what fucked me up? He was a perfect gentleman the whole time. That's what got me. Because I was expecting he's a clown. I'm expecting him to do clown shit. You know, I'm expecting like a squirt bottle, maybe a long gun that says bang. I was expecting shenanigans. And he was like, no, dude, I'm just here. I clocked out, but I kept my uniform on. I just came to enjoy comedy. And it fucked me up. It was the worst.
Oh, my God. But why wouldn't you expect? I mean, take the... Lose the clown outfit.
Dude, why would
he's brought a clown outfit to a comedy club.
Yeah.
We expect at least him to be obnoxious about it. This is such
He got me. He got me. If his goal was to throw me off, he did. He totally did. He got me.
the whole weekend it was just a debacle.
Yeah.
And then the next time I saw you was at the some sort of Yoder festival, but it was at the Toledo Mud Hens.
Yep. At their stadium.
And and I didn't recognize you.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is that possible? We spent five shows doing four people. And we hung up. And I said, oh, do you have that concealing carry?
Yeah, that's how you remember me.
That's what you remember? Yeah. And I said, I also remember a joke about going through the self-serve checkout.
Yeah.
Those were the two things I remembered. I remembered one of your bits.
And this gigantic pistol I carry with me.
And the fact that you could legally conceal a weapon upon your person.
Yeah, because that came in handy at the end of the night when we were in Jokers. We was trying to get out. And I was like, come on. Come on with me. You just got behind me.
I just walked you out of there. Yeah. I will escort you to your weird hotel in weird downtown Indianapolis, which is weird. The only time I like downtown Indianapolis is during that board game convention, Gen Con.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. That's fun.
Because it's just piles and piles of nerds.
And they're good. Their Comic-Con is really dope.
Yeah, Comic-Con was really nice, but the board game, what I liked about the board game convention is that people actually, it's like 60,000 people who literally just want to play a board game instead of at Comic-Cons, which can be just people standing in line to stare at someone who was on a TV show.
Yeah.
So, people who genuinely want to play a board game, I find, while they can be irritating, are usually very nice
people. Yeah, yeah. They're very patient people, I'll tell you that.
Super.
They're patient. They're patient for sure.
Willing to read directions. Yes. Sure.
What? I know. Directions?
Exactly.
Nobody does that anymore.
Okay. So let's get into it. Right. Your dorkdom is guns.
Yes.
I've never had a gun dork on, but I was like, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be Robert Jenkins, because I don't know who else. I mean, I've only fired a gun twice.
Yeah.
So and I don't know much about
it. The funny thing about it is that I was not into guns until I started doing comedy. I started comedy in July 2012. So,
really?
Yeah, before that, I had maybe fired a gun maybe a handful of times that I'm willing to talk about.
Right. But I think starting comedy made you realize that, first of all, you were in danger.
Yeah.
And
very much.
And then you might have had rage.
Very much so.
And
very much so. There was a specific incident that let me know. I was like, oh, I should probably do something about this.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So I was,
are you willing to share?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is, I started in July 2012, and, it's winter 2012, and I'm doing a show in Michigan. It's like northern Michigan, middle of nowhere, up pretty far north. Like, the last time I saw a black person was like 2 hours into the drive.
Oh,
right.
It's okay.
So,
more likely.
So I get there, I get to the bar. It's, it's a typical bar show, and I'm doing my thing. I'm doing 20, 25 minutes, something like that. And I do my bits, and things are going good. And but I noticed that in the front row, there was a table of three guys and a girl. And the woman was with her date. And she was laughing. But I guess maybe they didn't like the way she was laughing, which happens,
which is a weird thing that happens. And you're like, what? Why have you come?
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm like, dude, do you know that I'm on your side? Like, if she laughs, then she's going to fuck you later.
Eventually.
Like, that's what happens.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll be in a good mood.
How
many times have comics tried to explain this? They're just like, I'm not making her laugh. I'm not going to get anything out of this. And they're like, no, she's going to be in a better mood. And she might want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
That is the oldest stand-up comedy joke in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
because it's true.
Simple. Yeah. So I explain it. I'm Magic Johnson. Okay. I'm dishing here. I'm on the fast break. I'm doing the dribbling and everything. I'm drawing the defense. When they come to me, it's just a handoff to you. I'm just dishing it to my left and you just lay it in. Just lay it in. You literally and figuratively lay it in. You can't miss.
Install the job.
Exactly.
My friend. Install the job.
And everybody goes home happy. That's it.
Right.
Right. But
yes.
So after the show, I'm standing around waiting to get paid, as you do.
And as you do.
Before I know it, these folks have kind of made their way over to me and they're kind of like surrounding me. But they're not, they haven't got in the danger zone yet. But, they made it clear that they, are very close to me. And, the one guy, he says something. One of the guys says something I don't like. And I'm like, okay, I'm ignoring him. And I'm like, whatever. I'm not for everybody. Because I was even kind of like that, like how I am now back then. So, so I'm like, okay, I get my money. I'm getting ready to go. And I turn around. I see that they're gone. They're outside now. And I take a peek out the window. And I see that they're standing by my car. And their car is next to mine. So I say, oh, this is interesting. So I go and talk to the manager at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, there's some folks outside. I don't know what they plan on doing, but I plan on doing something if they do something. And he says,
So
I say, so you might want to bring somebody out there. Is there anybody that at least keep an eye out? And he basically told me, show's over. Do what you need to do. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'll never be back here again. And I'm not a big fan of calling law enforcement because, well, and
obvious reasons.
Right. And so at that time, I didn't have my concealed carry permit. I had I had pepper spray and I had a knife. I had a switchblade.
Okay.
So, you know, I go out, put my backpack on, and I make my way to the car, and it's just jawing back and forth. They're talking about what they want to do to me, and I'm telling them it probably won't happen like that. But they don't take any step forward. I don't go over to where they are. I get in my car right. and I drive home. And right. on that drive home, I said, okay, so I see how this is. So I need to go ahead and do something about this. So that was when I started. I made a decision to get my concealed carry permit and get a gun.
How do you get a concealed carry permit? Is it easy?
It depends on the state. A lot of times, you know, some states are very easy. Some states, you're in California.
Yeah.
It is kind of difficult in places like California and Illinois and New York, Massachusetts. Typically,
Wisconsin, you're giving it in the bassinet.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, here.
Pretty much. Here you go. It is drop it. Just drop it in your crib. You know.
Derringer. Yeah.
So it really does depend on the state. And so okay. with Michigan, what you have to do is there's a license form you fill out. You have to take okay. a concealed carry permit class that's sanctioned by the state. So they've been approved. You know, they've checked out the course curriculum. They know
okay, sort of like traffic school?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much same way you get a driver's license. And so
okay.
one of the big factors in whether or not it's going to be easy for you to get is whether your state is a shall issue or may issue. So you got to check the law. And this is where it comes in.
Spell these words. Shall?
Like shall. S-H-A-L-L. Shall issue or may issue.
Oh, as oh I in see. Consent if, right, and all this.
As, exactly. So if you meet these criteria, we shall issue a license.
Okay.
If you meet these criteria, we may issue a license. So the wording is kind of tricky depending on what those words say. Like, for example, like a may issue state is like New York or okay. Illinois. So you can do everything right and you can send everything in. And depending on the investigation or how things turn out, you may get denied.
Ah,
now,
okay.
Michigan is a shall issue state. And most states across the country are shall issue. And they give you reciprocity, too. So, like, my license, if I'm in Arizona or if I'm in Wisconsin or pretty much, like, 40 other states, my license okay. is good there. In Illinois, it's not.
It's not because it's a may.
Yeah, and they're very restrictive. So, Illinois, California, New York, Massachusetts, I believe, Hawaii, a couple of other places right. like that. They're very restrictive. So, when I'm traveling...
Quick question. Yeah. How does that affect, could you still bring your weapon
yeah.
with you?
So what I do, yeah. So what I do is like, if I got a show in Chicago or something like that,
right.
before I enter Illinois, I pull off to the side of the road. I unload my pistol. I put it in a locked compartment and I separate the ammunition from the actual firearm. So I okay. have the ammunition in my glove compartment and then I have the firearm itself. I put the trigger lock on it. I put it in a locked compartment and I'll put it in my trunk underneath the storage. There's like a storage area right there.
Okay.
So those things are completely separate. And
right.
I obviously absolutely cannot handle that firearm in Illinois. I can't do it. I can't put my hands on it. I can't use it.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like not even not concealed?
Right. Well, I don't know if Illinois has open carry, but I don't do that. I don't open carry any. I never right. do that.
Well, that open carry feels very much like, hey, look at me.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm looking for trouble.
Right. And my thing is these guns are for the protection of myself and those closest to me. I am not, yeah. I never want to make somebody feel uneasy I never want people to feel scared or intimidated
when you told me you had the concealed carry, I was made uneasy. and then I was,
well, I'm sorry. Like, I apologize.
No, that's okay. And then I was like, well, at least I don't have to stare at it. And the thing is I am fascinated by guns. Like, I'm the kind of person who should not have a gun. One time I had pepper spray and I used it. I am a fucking Chekhov play. I shouldn't have a weapon. This is not good. You know, so,
you know what? You think that now, but honestly, mm-hmm. when you go through training and if you take the mm-hmm. right course and they really explain to you the ramifications of it, you will be way more prudent than you think you will be when it comes to using
okay,
firearms.
Okay, so just buying pepper spray at the place that I worked at and just having it in the car, that's probably no training.
Oh, no.
I'm just going, oh, it's $8.99. Yeah. That's not enough. A receipt no. is not training?
No, that doesn't... that doesn't translate the gravitas of the situation. Like it's, you know,
it's lost.
Yeah. But yeah. it's because it's really, you know, if you take it serious and you take the training course, it's really serious. Like, you know, they really drill into you that, you know, when you pull the trigger on a firearm, once that bullet is out, you're responsible for any and everything that it hits. So that's right. on you. So you really need right. to make sure that this is what you want to do before you decide to, shoot a firearm at somebody.
And, okay, yeah. So I have shot twice.
Okay.
I went to a gun range here in Van Nuys
okay.
for my birthday. Andy said, because I said that I wanted to go horseback riding, I kind of wanted a cowboy birthday.
Okay, there you go. There
so
you go.
We went horseback riding, we grilled, and then he grew up with guns
okay.
and he has no interest in them, but he was like, there is a gun range 2.5 miles from here if you want to go. And I was like, and so we went, and my favorite part of this was they had headphones
mm-hmm.
for the gun range, and I said to the guy, oh, do you spray them like at the bowling alley? And the guy's like, no, just use them or don't use them, they're filthy.
Yeah.
And and then it was us, and so we got we got a pistol
mm-hmm.
that were which was very hard to load, by the mm-hmm. way, in the cartridge.
Yeah.
They're
the magazines
they're
are very stiff. If they're new, they're very stiff, which is something I definitely want to go over today. We talk about
yeah.
that stuff because I want to really everything to kind of be more functional. Like, this may sound contradictory, but I'm not a gun nut. Like, I'm not like hyper fascinated. I have a very working, very practical knowledge with firearms. Because,
okay.
like, for example, when I go to the range, with exception of maybe once or twice, every gun that I shoot at the range is one that I own. Because
okay.
I'm only concerned with using those. You know what I mean?
And sort of getting sort of the feel
exactly.
of how they work.
Yes, yes, yes. So
okay. So what is the... So the training is... How long was the training?
It was 8 hours. So it's a full day, and you go through the legal ramifications of it. They show you exactly how a gun works. You go over how to fire a gun safely. We go over home defense. You go over concealed carry tips and stuff like that. But the most important thing you deal with is safety. Like, safety is a number one. That's the most important thing when you have a firearm. And one of the things that they drill into you is the four basic rules of gun safety. Right. So the first thing is whenever you see a gun, you are to treat every gun that you see as if it's loaded. Automatically.
Okay. I read that in the Western novels.
Right. Automatically
yes.
assume that it's loaded. That's the first thing, right? The second
okay.
thing is when you have a gun, if you're holding a gun in your hand, always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction.
Okay.
Because things happen. You never know. It could go off. You may not be something if worst comes to worst, and this gun is discharged. You want it to be in a safe direction, which means never point a gun at anybody you don't want to shoot. Okay.
Right.
I don't
right.
give a damn what the consequences are or circumstances or what have you. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction.
Right.
The third thing is never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Now, that may sound
okay.
simple, but, you know, people are lackadaisical. So a lot of times people will pick a gun up, like this gun right here.
Okay.
People will pick a gun up and they'll grab it like this. It's on the table.
Right.
They'll pick it up and grab it like this. You never do that. So you always want to keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready
like
to shoot.
Pick it up by the guard or something?
You pick it up by the handle.
Okay.
So pick it up by the handle. And what you do is, you see how I have this finger right here? You yeah. rest your finger along the side of the gun.
Okay.
So you never, not in here, you have it along the side. So okay. that way it's close to the trigger if it needs to be fired, but it's not on the trigger. And that way when okay. you make your decision to, when you start firing, it's
yeah.
it's not very, it's very easy to go from here to here. So yeah. that's the thing. And then the fourth thing is you have to be certain of your line of fire, what's in the way, and what is behind your target. Always, oh. you got to know what's behind your target because
you're going to miss.
No, or you go through them. You hit, oh, you go right. through them, and then it hits whatever's behind them too.
Oh, wow.
You know, which is something that you have to definitely take into account, especially
because they're very powerful.
Yes. yes.
yes. Okay.
And which we're going to talk a little bit later about ammunition and types of ammunition. There are some yeah. types of ammunition, for example, a full metal jacket. That's something that overpenetrates. And I'll show you what that is right here.
Okay.
Full metal jacket is a, I don't know if you can see this, but the end. Yeah. You yeah. see how it's pointy on the end?
Yeah.
And there, it's solid. You see, can you see that there's like no like hole?
There's
in
no
it?
Holes yeah. or anything?
So this is a full okay. metal jacket. So if I were to hit something with this bullet and mm-hmm. go straight through them and it keep going because it's
right.
coming from.
It's a heavy.
Yeah, it's coming from a very powerful weapon. Now, on the other side, this is a hollow point, personal defense ammo. You see that plastic tip in there?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens with these, and some of them are actually hollow points where they don't have any plastic in there. It's just a hole in there.
Oh,
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. Now, the reason that the way hollow points work is that hole that you'll see that's in there, when it
yeah.
penetrates, the air creates pressure. And the pressure causes the projectile to split. So when
it, oh, to turn it into like shrapnel inside yes, whatever you've hit?
Yes. So it
stops. Oh, gross.
But it stops yeah. in that person.
Right.
And it does all types of damage. You just, you know, just picture a huddle in football. When they say break, that's what happens.
Yeah.
It goes in there, so they
oh,
break
man.
And it just everywhere. So they another name for these types of bullets is personal defense ammo.
Okay.
Because when you're out concealed carry, you don't want to have full metal jackets. You want to have personal defense ammo because you only want to damage the thing that you're aiming at.
Oh, and they and those will stop in the thing
yes,
that you're aiming at, which is sadly often a human.
Yep.
But so the full metal jackets. What about this? Shell casings. We've heard
yes.
so much discussed.
So let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So there are four parts to a bullet. If you can see this, you see this little circle right
yeah.
here? That's called a primer. That's one part. Okay. The outside is the actual casing. So the metal part on the outside, that's the casing. Then the tip is what, this is the bullet, the actual projectile. This is the thing that
oh.
comes out, right? And inside here, place you can't see in here, is the powder.
Okay.
The gunpowder. So,
got it.
So here's what happens. A gun, you have a bullet in the chamber of a gun, and there is this thing called a firing pin. You pull the trigger, comes forward, firing pin, hits the primer, right?
Okay.
Hits the primer.
The pin hits
yes.
hits the bullet really yep. hard, but the back.
The primer, yeah, right in the center. Hits right in the center.
Okay.
So
oh, where the circle.
Yep. So it hits hard. Hits it hard enough to ignite the powder. Right. So that's, you know, firearm.
Oh.
That's what happens when you see the big bang. That's the
yeah.
that's the pin hitting the
so
primer.
So it creates kind of a spark.
Yes.
That lights up the powder, which is inside
yeah.
the thing.
Yep.
OK.
And the powder, it lights the powder up and it creates so much force, so much pressure that it shoots the projectile off.
And the tiny part on the end, which
yes,
is the actual bullet.
The actual bullet shoots that off. And that's what
okay.
goes traveling down the barrel of the gun, right? Now,
okay.
the barrel, inside the barrel, there's twists that have been kind of etched into it in like a spiral.
Or like a threading?
Yes, it's threaded. And
okay.
so that those twists are what allows the bullet to spin
mm-hmm.
and make sure it goes straight.
Oh, because the centrifugal force. Yes. It's like go straight, go straight, go straight. And now you're out in the world, but you have a head start,
yeah,
essentially, on going straight.
Right. So okay. much pressure, so much force is involved. That's why it moves so fast, so straight, so quickly. Right.
Okay.
So that's your typical what happens when you pull the trigger on a firearm. Just, yeah.
So does every bullet, though, has that casing?
Absolutely. Yes. And that's
what people leave behind. And that gets ejected or
something? Or, so yeah. In your typical handgun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the chamber in here. Now,
okay.
I got this gun. I'm going to show you how to clear a gun to make sure that it's not loaded, right? So
okay.
When you get a gun, like I said, you treat it as if it's loaded, right? The first thing you do, you see this button right here?
Okay.
That's the magazine release. You hit that and you take the magazine out. Okay.
Okay.
And you inspect the magazine, make sure it's empty, put that down. Then you take this part, it's called the slide. You engage your safety, you pull the slide back, and you look in and make sure that it's empty. There's nothing in it. So now.
So that should mean that there's no bullets anywhere inside of that gun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I'll show you why it's important to make sure that you remove the magazine first. Now, this gun right here is loaded. There's nothing in the chamber, but it's loaded, right? So let's say I wanted to clear this gun, right? So I rack it first. Then I take the magazine out.
Okay.
Because I racked it first, there's now a bullet in the chamber.
Wow.
So that's how you make a mistake. See, that's why you always want to take the magazine out first. Because that way, if you've racked it, you know that if there was a bullet in here, it would be coming out and there would be nothing. There wouldn't be another bullet to replace it.
Okay. So, if it had been racked before you had put it down, and then you didn't rack it again, but you ejected the magazine.
There would still be one in here. Yep.
There would still be one in there. So, but when you store a gun, you don't store it racked, do you?
Well, it depends. In my house, absolutely not.
Okay.
But when I'm carrying on the street, yes. Because in those situations, you may not have enough time to do that.
To do it.
And there are other things, there are other precautions in place to stop an accidental discharge. And those are called safeties.
Okay.
Most handguns have safeties. So you take this gun right here. This is the Springfield XDS. It's a 9mm gun. Okay.
Okay.
So on the front, on the handle here, you see that?
I hear it.
Okay.
And I see what you're doing.
This is called the grip safety.
Okay.
So with this gun, I have to have my hand around it to activate it.
Okay.
So it wouldn't fire if I didn't have my hand on it. Because this safety right here, it essentially engages the weapon. Lets you know that it's ready to go. So.
And is that the only safety?
No. This gun has three safeties.
Good.
Yeah. And which is why I like Springfield Armory, because they as far as safe as guns can be, they tend to make them pretty safe. They have lots of safeties and extra
and
features.
Backups and
yeah. So you have the grip safety right here, right?
Okay.
Then you have you see this? This is the trigger.
Yeah.
But there's a little divot in front of it. Can you see that? Hold on. Hold on for 1 second.
I get it.
Right here, you see there's a little small piece.
Okay.
That's a trigger safety. That what that does is it makes some guns have very hair triggers, very easy triggers, the slightest touch and they go off. I don't like that. I want a long trigger pull. I want me to have to put some work into it. So
I feel the same way about my Toyota Corolla. I don't want to have it. I have a lot of pickup.
No,
I like me to make a decision and then the car to actually think about it for a heartbeat.
Right,
do it.
We're doing this. All right, we're doing it. We're doing it. It's the same. Essentially the same thing. So this.
Okay.
So there's this, the trigger safety, and then there's an internal safety. That will stop it from accidental discharge if it were to fall, if it were to drop out of my hand. Okay?
Oh.
Right. So I have three. So there's three safeties on this gun. So Springfield, the majority of the guns I have are Springfield. Springfield okay. Armory.
How many guns might you own?
Well,
well, how many guns are? Let us just five. Say how many
okay.
guns.
We'll, let's go with five.
Okay, exactly. Let's just five. Go with the five that you own. And are they all the guns that essentially the what I'm interested in is the conceal and carry. Mm-hmm. You could carry any of those five guns?
No, I have two guns. I have two here that I'm going to show you that are not concealed carry. I have three that I could carry, three handguns. I have a AR-15 pistol here, and I have a shotgun here.
Okay. Yeah.
So this
I've shot a shotgun. My father-in-law he trained bird dogs for field trials from horseback.
Nice, nice.
And so he took pointers, right? Mm-hmm. And so he had he had several shotguns. And when he passed away about 5 or 6 years ago, he wanted his ashes put in shotgun shells and for us to shoot them.
Oh,
off.
Hell, that's cool.
Yeah, we still have 10 of his. We have some, and they had pellets in them as well. But we have like 10 shotgun shells on our.
That's nice. I like that.
Two different gauge.
Yeah. 12 and 20?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably yep. smaller and bigger. Yep. And I got to shoot him into the sky a couple of times in Arkansas.
That's cool.
Which is where you should live if you want to get shot into the sky.
Yeah, it sounds like a very Arkansas thing to do.
It felt pretty on brand. And
so I wanted to actually, since we're talking about shotguns, we can talk about shotguns real quick. You've probably heard of the different gauges for shotguns. There's 12 gauge and then there's 20 gauge, right? Now, those are typical, the two popular like gauges for shotguns. I'm sure there's others, but those are the ones that I'm familiar with. Now, the reason they're named 12 and 20 is because when you're measuring gauges, when you're trying to figure out the gauge, it's all about the diameter of the barrel and how many lead spheres it would take to make a pound. That's how they decide what the gauge is. So if it takes 12, then it's a 12 gauge. If it takes 20, it's a 20 gauge. So using that same type of reasoning, the 12 gauge is bigger than the 20 gauge because it takes fewer of them to make a pound.
So fewer of the pellets.
Yeah.
And it's essentially how many of the pellets that go in a cartridge?
Well, spheres. Spheres. Like if you look at the barrel of the gun, mm-hmm. How many of those spheres would it take to make a pound?
Okay. So, and do you load a pound into a shotgun?
No, that's just the old school way of them coming up with a thing.
Right.
That's just how they decided to name them. It's
fair enough.
Like as far as like practical use, it doesn't really mean much to us. We just not really.
That's just how they're called.
That's just how they named them. And I
do love a definition. I love getting the sort of the backstory mm-hmm. on it. So thank you.
So and when you talk about guns, like handguns, you have the caliber. You know, you always hear people talk about caliber, like 9mm, 45, all that.
Right.
So caliber, what that means is you're talking about the diameter of the barrel of the gun. Okay.
Oh.
So like you hear 45, somebody say they have 45. That's roughly 0.45 inches.
Oh, so literally, that's why they're so huge.
Yeah.
So a 45 is bigger than a 9mm,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Technically, a 45 is an 11mm. That's what it converts out to metric-wise.
Oh, okay.
So you got 9mm, you have a 10mm, mm-hmm. you have 11mm. As far as caliber goes, you have 45, then you got 40.
There was Kinsey Millhone in the Kinsey Millhone Mysteries, I believe, carried a 32.
Mm-hmm. Which is these days, that's a very unique caliber weapon.
It'd be so funny. Would it be weird if you'd go to a gun store and you're like, I need 32, and like, oh, well, we actually don't carry that gauge?
Yeah, they probably would. They probably would have it. Because these people get off into it. Like if you go to a gun store and you look for ammo, the shelf, I mean, it's all types of shit you can find. A little bit
of
everything.
It's the Michaels of guns.
Pretty much. Just craft. That's their version of crafting. They sit up and, some people, they get way, way into it.
People are,
Me, myself, I just, as far as handguns, 9mm. That's all I carry. I don't need anything right. bigger than that. When you combine the power of a 9mm with today's personal defense ammo, that's enough. That's enough to stop anybody, especially
right.
most confrontations you have will be at point blank range. You won't need probably any more than 4 or 5 rounds before it's over. And it happens quick. So people walk around with the big honking like 45, or some people have Desert Eagle, these fucking massive, ridiculous guns. Just 9mm are my thing. That's what I tend to carry.
Right. Because I genuinely believe this. I mean, that we've talked a little bit about this, mm-hmm. and this has been a fascinating conversation because, you know, it's so clearly you're just like, I just want to be able to protect myself yeah. if someone is threatening mm-hmm. me. And, I don't know. All I know is that those situations in stand-up comedy, when you feel threatened, you know, as a woman, I can say, you have to walk me to my car. Mm-hmm. As a giant man, if you say, I need you to walk me to my car, you're going to be mocked. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and yet I need you to fucking walk me to my yeah. car. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you don't want me to hurt them, and I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
I just want to go to my car.
Yeah. And I have different considerations too, because I can't think of many instances where I would call the police. Because, right. you know, shit, if the police show up, that just probably likens the chance of me getting shot. So whatever right. problems I have to handle them on my own. So,
right,
and,
right.
you know, I'm not above a fist fight. That's fine. But a lot of people, you know, right. it's very rare that I'm going to get a good one-on-one thing. It'll be more than one of them. And, you know,
right.
so.
And you don't want to bring a fist fight if they are armed.
Right. Right.
You don't want to bring your to be under equipped when there are more than one person yeah. Ready to attack mm-hmm. you.
Because, you know, you also have to assume, like, I'm not saying I'm the toughest person in the world, because I'm not. But most people, if they saw me, they would probably just leave me the fuck alone. So
right, you're what are you, 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'5", yeah, in there, like 250.
Right.
So it's like
you're a very large man.
Yeah, you know, which
yeah.
which is cool. Like I'm not someone who ever tries to throw my weight around or be
right.
like that. That's just not how. And so, if I'm mad, then it's different. But like I, right. I never go out of my way to, like, you know, lord over people and make people feel uncomfortable. That's not my thing. But when you behave like that, some people take that for weakness, and then right. they may try you.
Right, which is you just essentially being aware of your own strength.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure as a young man, as a teenager, you had to be like, "Oh, my hands are actually the size of hams.
Yeah.
I am going to break that mm-hmm. if I grab it too hard."
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the thing that we all have to learn.
Yeah.
I had to learn it with my fucking mouth because I can hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharp. There's yeah. There's no reason for me to say the first thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not okay. Yeah. cool. Well. So what gauge shotgun do you have? Do you hunt or any of that?
Actually, I got my hunting license this year. So yeah, I will be doing some hunting this year.
Birds?
Deer.
Okay.
Yes. Yep, I got my...
You got a 30-06?
No.
Can you tell that I read a lot of Westerns?
That's old school. The 30-06.
So
but I was just at the gun store, and they have tons of 30-06 ammo. People are still out here. And that's a fine weapon right there. You can, yeah. You can do some yep. damage with that. I have, right here, I have a 12-gauge shotgun. And
okay.
This is the Mossberg 590 Shockwave. And this is for home defense. This is a home defense
okay.
shotgun. Now, this is something that I want to convey to the people listening and to you. If we're talking about home defense, this is a really good shotgun to have. And I'll tell you why. The first reason is because the shotgun, a lot of people are very afraid of shotguns because of the kickback. You know, there's lots
okay.
of recoil. People, they're very hard to handle, very hard to manage, right? Now, with this Mossberg 12-gauge that I have, I have mini shells, small shotgun shells, and I'll show you one of them right here. This is very small. It's like it's like half the size of a regular shotgun shell.
Okay, then, it's short.
It's short. It's short, and yeah. It's smaller. It's smaller in diameter. Now, the reason that this is important is because smaller shotgun shells are less likely to over-penetrate. So if you hit somebody with this, it's a shotgun. It's going to do massive damage, but it's not going to go through your wall into your neighbor's kitchen. Like, it's going to stop pretty short of that. So also, because these shells are smaller, you can fit more of them in the shotgun tube. So here.
Oh.
Yeah. So here, right here, this is the shotgun tube. This is where the shotgun shells go.
Okay.
So if I were to load one, I would take it off of here like this. Mm-hmm. I put it in here and I press it in. And then I just load them that way.
Right? Okay. And how many of the regular length ones would fit in
here? In here would probably fit, I would say probably 5 in here. But I have 8 in here now.
Because they're shorter. Just, okay.
Yes, they're shorter. And so when you have a shotgun, the best way to store it is in a position they call cruiser ready. You know, like, so, and what that means is, you know, you ever see like a police car and they have a shotgun in the car, the shotgun cruiser, you know, police, they call them cruisers.
Right.
It's cruiser ready is when you have it full, but you have this. This is called the action. You see this right here?
Yeah.
This is empty.
Okay.
So it's the magazine tube is full. The shotgun tube is full.
Right.
But the chamber is empty. And you always want to store shotguns with the chamber empty because shotguns go off.
Okay.
They go off a lot. You could drop it and it'll go off. Like, it's in a closet and somebody knocks it over and it goes off.
All of a sudden, boom.
Right. So you always want to store your shotguns empty. And so, like, I have this in cruiser. It's in cruiser mode right now. It's cruiser ready. So let's say something goes down. I need to grab this. So if I need to grab it, all I do, I pick it up. Now it's loaded.
Now it's loaded.
Just that
there's
quick.
There's something in the chamber.
Yeah, just that quick. So that's why you want to keep them. Unload this. That's why you always want to keep them empty because it takes nothing to load this thing and get to it really quick.
In a book, that's right. you could like 12 gauge those are 12 to a pound pellets, right? That will go into a person.
Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. So I have, what is birdshot?
Birdshot is there are different types of shotgun shells. This is a slug, so it's just like a metal thing. There isn't multiple pellets.
Okay.
Buckshot is heavier. It's for deer. That's what you use to kill deer. Birdshot is for bird hunting. Smaller pellets. So like you can,
because I have eaten pheasant and I have found birdshot in it.
Yep. You remember when Dick Cheney shot that guy?
Yeah.
That guy lived because he got hit with birdshot.
Okay, because he hit him in the face.
Yeah. Now, if he
with a
shotgun, yeah, with I think it was a maybe it was a 20 gauge. I don't know, but it was birdshot. So had he hit him with buckshot, he'd have died. That'd have been it for him.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were out bird hunting, obviously. You know, so thank God that they were out there bird hunting and not deer hunting, because he'd killed him. He'd been dead.
And Dick Cheney waving a shotgun around.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person,
because
he is a crazy person. But that's weird that you could accidentally shoot somebody with. I mean, and the thing is I'm from Wisconsin, so deer hunting, we kill more people in Wisconsin deer hunting than I think were killed in Iraq. You know, over 10 years.
Oh shit!
I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
There's you can get a gun very easily in Wisconsin, and there's not a lot of training, and they're just out, and they're like, "I'm gonna get my buck."
Yeah.
And then they see their buddy who's tricked out in orange, and they shoot him anyway
because they're drunk.
And you're like,
because a lot of folks, they use like deer hunting, the big hunting weekend is the let's get fucked up and complain about life weekend. And the, the deer.
Why
the
bring
deer,
the guns at all?
Exactly.
Why
just go out there and
go
drink.
Camping.
I don't know. Anyway,
go fishing, something. For God's sakes. You can't really do, you could drown. But I mean,
yeah, it's, but there's less inherent danger.
Yeah. Yes. And you would do it to yourself. Mm-hmm. So that'd be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to make sure, cover a couple more things.
Yeah. Cover a couple more things. We got about 15 minutes left. Let's get
this. So, a couple of things I want to clear up real quick. So you hear people talk about things like assault rifles. That's the thing that you hear a lot. Assault rifle. Right.
Right.
So there are two main types of rifles that people are talking about when they talk about that. There's the AK-47 mm-hmm. and the AR-15. Now, some people think that AR stands for assault rifle. That's not what it stands for. AR is Armalite Rifle, because that's the company that made it. And 15 is Rifle Design Number 15. So that's where that comes from. And the AR-15 is the most popular rifle in America. There are millions of them. Like people.
My niece has one.
Oh, see?
She's in the National Guard, and she said it was the cheapest rifle that she could get.
Mm-hmm. You can get them. It's scary how many there are out there. And we don't even know how many there are.
Why?
Because there's this thing called a ghost gun. Now, when you buy an AR-15, it's made up of two parts, typically. The upper receiver, lower receiver. The two halves of it, right? Now, the lower receiver is what they consider to be the firearm. So that part is where the serial number is. That's the part that has to get registered. That's the part that has to be sold to a federal firearm license dealer.
Okay.
So that's where the gusto is. That's the serial number and all that stuff. Now, what you can do is, if you know how to, let's back up for a second. You can make any weapon that you want by yourself, as far as, you know, as a rifle or a gun. If you can make it yourself, you can make it, and you don't have to essentially register it. If you made it all yourself, you would have to register it. So what people are doing is they're buying these lower receivers that are 80% finished. So when you buy it, it's not completely finished. Since it's not completely finished, it doesn't have a serial number on it. So you buy it 80% finished, and then you have the kit, or like the operation in your home to finish it the rest yourself. So you buy it, and then you just do the drilling and the few little things you need to do to it, because it's already 80% done. You do the few things you need to do to it to finish it all the way. And then you can buy a kit with all of everything else in it, and you can finish the gun. You can make the gun yourself, and it's not.
And it's unregistered.
It's unregistered. So it's, that's why
and
they call
untraceable.
It. Yes.
Because the is the lower half of the gun, you said, the part that has the.
Yep.
And that's where the trigger is?
Yeah, that's what houses
stock?
The trigger and all that other stuff. Yeah. It's that's why they call it a ghost gun, because it's off the record. It's untraceable.
Right. So if this part has, if the bottom part has the stock and the trigger and sort of that housing unit, that what does the top have? Just the barrel?
The barrel. I mean, there's this thing called the bolt carrier group, which is where the, you know what? Actually, I got it right here. I'll show you this. So this is an AR-15. Platform,
right?
But this is not a rifle. This is an action. This is technically this is a pistol, because the barrel is short. This is the barrel is, I think, 9.6 inches.
Okay.
Where your typical AR-15 is going to be 15 inches. The barrel is going to be 15 inches, something
which
like that.
Which is rifle length.
Exactly.
I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
So up here, this is the upper receiver part right here. The lower receiver is just basically this. This half.
Okay.
Okay.
Essentially the stock and the trigger.
Essentially,
guard
yeah.
Thing?
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, like the magazine house, like right here.
Okay.
And so
and that's the lower receiver part, and that's the part that's registered.
Yes. Yes. This is the part that they consider to be the firearm.
Okay. So the other two ends of it.
Mm-hmm. This is the upper receiver. Yes, you can just buy this stuff separately. You can buy them.
And then somehow create a trigger guard and a magazine holder by yourself with a kit.
Yeah, essentially. And you're not even really creating these parts so much as you're just like milling out the parts, the holes where the stuff goes. So you don't have to like make a thing. You just have to finish drilling a thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's just you get this thing, it's 80% done. You set up your press, your machine, you drill out these holes, you make these holes where the different parts go, and it's essentially done in the span of maybe an hour and a half.
If you have a basic workshop in your garage with sort of like a bandsaw and a couple of drilling and absolutely. The bits and mm-hmm. the whatever, you're in business.
Pretty
you
much.
You could have a weird ass just keep, giant gun.
Keep churning them out.
An Armalite rifle, an AR-15, mm-hmm. is not an automatic.
No.
So there's, everybody's like, assault weapons, automatic rifles.
Right. So.
There's always some semantic things where you're like, you're not talking about the right thing. Yeah. You're like, oh, so, here's what I would so love. Someone doesn't walk into a fucking place and blow 15 people away.
Right. So let's talk about that. It's a semi-automatic rifle.
Okay.
Semi-automatic means that you have to pull the trigger for a bullet to come out. You have to keep pulling the trigger for bullets to come out.
Okay.
Automatic would be is if I pulled the trigger and kept it down and it just kept shooting. Boom, 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 boom. That's automatic. Semi-automatic is when I just do this. Like I pull the trigger.
Got
it. It shoots the gun. It ejects the casing and then it loads another bullet. And then I pull. Boom, eject. That's semi-automatic. That's what that means.
Can it be both?
Yeah, you can.
Can a gun be?
You can. There are guns that have bursts, like 3-round bursts, where you hit okay. and it goes boom, 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 3 times.
Yeah.
For the longest time, people, there are still ways to kind of convert your semi-automatic weapon to an automatic weapon, where there's a thing called a binary trigger. And what that is typically when you pull the trigger, you know, the bullet comes out, boom, you fire off a round, then you let the trigger go, it resets, and then you pull it again. But with a binary,
three more.
With the binary trigger, you pull the trigger, it comes out. When you let the trigger go on the way out, another bullet fires out. Then, so you get double the rate of fire. So it's like boom, 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 boom. Instead of just boom, boom, boom. You see,
yeah.
In and out,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
coming out, in and out. And so that's one way that people turn, you know, make their, essentially turn their guns into somewhat
more
almost
automatic-y.
More automatic. Then more automatic-y. That's
more automatic.
Then there's these things called bump stocks. You may have heard about that.
I've heard the words. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it means entirely.
It's illegal now. They banned them, which is...
Okay.
My hat's off to them. Great. It's a great idea. Now, what a bump stock was you see... I'll pick this up again so I can show you. This right here, this is a stock, right?
Okay.
And so if I had it, what I would do is if I had it on my arm like this and I'll mm-hmm. fire, right? If I had a bump stock, what would happen is... When I fire, the gun goes back.
Mm-hmm.
The bump stock bumps it forward,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes back again. And that motion allows for essentially for it just to keep firing. So if I were to just hold my finger down, it would just go boom, 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 boom.
It would just reload itself.
It's essentially bumping off my shoulder, and then it's keeps firing if I wanted to do that.
Right.
Now they outlawed those. Which is great. Which, so because you could buy a bump stock for $50 and turn it into this fucking killing machine.
Right.
There are ways around it that you can essentially if I wanted to, I could still turn this into a fully automatic weapon just how it is. What I would do is I would take my hand, right? Now, normally you have your hand here to steady the rifle. You have your hand on the barrel up here. And this is called a handguard right here. You have your hand up here and I'm using it to aim, right? And I would use my finger to do this. What mm-hmm. I do if I wanted to make this fully automatic is I would take my hand and I would use my hand to pull the gun forward. I would pull the gun forward with my hand like this.
Okay.
So see, by doing that, I'm pulling it into my trigger. I keep my finger still, and yeah. I would pull my hand forward and keep my finger in the same place. See, then that way it would fire, like boom. Then it would come back,
yep.
And then I'd keep pulling it forward. So I'm just
and it would essentially just reload by doing sort of a. It's more of a workout than a bump stock.
Yeah, but it gives you the same thing. Yeah, and it's like, and anyway, these people, man, folks are going to figure out a way to do this type of shit. It seems like no matter what you do, they're always figuring out something. And
right, which is one of the reasons they say that it's unenforced, that gun control is unenforceable. But I always say, give it a shot.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I mean, you know, yeah. If they made the shit illegal tomorrow, I'll turn all my shit in. You know what I mean? The law is the law. Yeah. I'm not going to keep it just for the sake of keeping it. But if right. they got them, I want them.
Right. So, wow. Yeah. We're right here at around 59 minutes. Yeah. That would have been a great last line.
Shit. Hey. Because we had the shit. It went down. Over here, they stormed our Capitol with all the crazy white guys.
Right,
stormed
right.
our Capitol with all them guns and stuff. So
just open, and they were all open carry mm-hmm. crazies.
They're walking
just
around,
Kookasaurus Rexes,
exactly,
man.
Just intimidating people. And before that was the last straw for me. That's when I went out and got that AR-15 because I said, okay, so they got them, I want them. And
all right,
I went and I have this thing right here. This. Is a drum. This is a magazine. It holds 100 rounds.
Oh my God.
And so,
yes.
You know, it goes on the AR 15.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Let's see. I'll show you.
You know, it's somehow fitting that you're sitting in your basement.
Yeah.
What just happened, Robert? Oh, jeez. God dang it. That is hilariously
yeah.
horrifying.
Yeah, I know. Yes. It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they walk around with these all the time. So I say, oh, okay. So that's, I guess I'll join the club.
Right. Picture this
yeah.
carrying it, young man.
Yeah.
Does that make you any happier than me watching you walk around
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, I know.
It does not.
It's so funny yeah. how people's attitudes change depending on who's holding the weaponry.
Yes, yes. Weird. By the way, I am almost done talking. Okay. This has been fascinating. And Robert Jenkins, you guys, stand-up comic. Also lawyer for the state of Michigan, mm-hmm. But it's at Rob J Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, when we are doing stand-up comedy again, and then, we will one day we will work at a regular club and it'll all work out.
Yeah. I hope, I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything on as far as coming
on
back
the
to Michigan?
Books, yeah. I'm supposed to come to Dr. Grin's in August.
Oh shit. Okay. Nice. That should be,
but I can't,
I think that's,
I can't imagine.
Oh, they might, because we're opening up like in July, like pretty much they're trying to go back to normal in July. So,
I know. That sounds terrifying to yeah. me. That's
hopefully
you know,
we'd be past our second wave by then. You know, like
right.
you don't just walk
don't
right into it.
I don't want to walk right into it. It's I literally went to a hot dog stand yesterday and the woman working the window mm-hmm. was not wearing a mask.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We all got to wear masks,
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
Folks,
yeah,
at least for the next year or so.
Yeah.
Let's just face it.
Yeah,
it's not. You will help stop the spread. So,
I guess some people ain't taking it serious.
Yeah. Well, that is another great line to end on. Some people aren't taking it serious. Robert, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing
the
show.
Thank you. This was great. I'm so happy to see you. It's been so long.
Yeah,
I sound like a giddy person. I just love hanging with you. So this is cool.
Me too, man. Yeah. This is super fun to actually just have a social moment when you're having just a conversation yeah. about something too. So Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?